can be a little bit confusing, but you know what? I remember first like trying to teach this principle and thinking, oh my gosh, this is kind of deep. And you know, and really, really in reality, actually this is a really simplistic concept. So I want to break it down to you, and we don't want to overanalyze it. Do you know what I mean? Because if you start to be like, wow, it's kind of like it's like anything in the spiritual realm. If you start to like overly try to figure it out, you'll start to your head will start to like hurt, literally. Okay, so some of this stuff we have to analyze by the fruit. In other words, we don't know, you know, can I give you a step-by-step analysis of what takes place in the unseen spiritual realm and tell you step by step what that looks like? You know what, if I did that, I just tell you not to listen to me, because you know, I have the insight that I have, but it's still subject to your interpretation to a degree. Okay, because we don't really know this stuff, but we know the concepts behind it. And the biggest concept I'm going to be talking about is with the soul tie is that it's very, very clear that we're soul tied to Jesus, that we become one with him, and that when we become one with him, we literally get the spirit that he carries injected into us. And because we have that as a framework, and because relationships are meant to mimic the way Jesus loves us, that's kind of the baseline that we're going to use today. Does that make sense? Because I don't want to be too far out there with this stuff where I'm just like in left field coming up with this stuff. And I mean, we have plenty of humanistic theology that will aid us in that. We want something that we can at some level bring back and tie down to a biblical truth somehow, somewhere. Okay, now what happens, and I just want to say this really quickly, what happens with people get messed up when they over theologize everything, and then they want to get into the very specifics and the very details. And well, what could it be that? And I just want to encourage you just to open your heart and just let's ask to receive from Jesus his interpretations, how this would play out in your life. Don't get spooked by it. Don't get freaked out by it. It's nothing like that. It's nothing that we have to be scared of. We just want to see this stuff that's going on, how our human interactions, how our human connections really do impact us. That's what we're going to be looking at. Starting next week, we'll be doing a 4-week, I almost said series, but that's not the right word. 4 weeks of intimacy courts, which I really believe is absolutely at the heart of this. So today we're going to look at connection. I'm just going to open us up in prayer. Father, we need help. We just acknowledge that. And we're grateful that we need help. We're grateful that you are the helper and that we don't have to figure this stuff out on our own. We are so grateful that we have access to the Holy Spirit, to the spirit of wisdom and of truth, and that you said in your word that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, that we do not have to, at a human level, figure life out, that you have already chosen to figure it out on our behalf. If we trust you, if we ask for you to reveal things to us, that we can understand these things for ourselves. And Lord, I'm honored that I get to teach, but yet I pull myself under you. I pull myself under your authority at every level. That you would reign and rule in this classroom right now, that a human interpretation, including mine, would not surpass what you have to say, what you have to think today, and that you can just go ahead and just take this class over however you see fit. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you that you want to be so connected and so attached to us that what you carry would be all over us, that the fruits of your spirit would be bred in our life and reproduced in our life, that's the kind of God you are. And we are just blessed, just so blessed, just to even have that truth. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, well, here we go. Here's the deal. Everyone comes into workshop one going, how do I fix my relationship? And then we start this workshop too, and everyone's like, when are we getting to relationships? When are we getting to relationships? Okay. We're on relationships, guys. All right. We're here. We're on relationships. But here's the deal. We can never misalign the order. We can't ever misalign the order. And the order is that relationship with God always has to come first. How we interact with ourselves in relationship with the Lord comes next. That always has to be the second one. And then relationship with each other is what plays out from there. If you aren't nurturing relationship with self, you will start trying to feed self in an inappropriate manner. If you're not feeding, hi, come on in, guys. Find a seat, grab another one if you need to. There's a couple extra chairs back there. You know, relationship with each other is going to be a byproduct of those first two. Okay, here's the tricky thing about relationship with each other. When you move into relationship with each other, you're dealing with another person that you do not have the power to change. Okay, let's all say it together. No, I won't make you do that. We do not have the power to change. I was teaching Salvation Army last night, that very basic principle, and it was so beautiful because they were actually receiving it. Some of them don't. Some of those groups, they're just like, they're ready to throw me out the door and move on with their day. But they were receiving it, and that is the first truth to learn, right, guys? The first thing to learn is that we cannot change another human being. So we are not going to be here to analyze the person in your life, to scrutinize them, to figure them out. If we think that by somehow gaining these tools about what's happening in their life is going to somehow fix or resolve the relationship, and we can maybe pop the little book under their nose too, wouldn't that be nice? If we think that we will possess within ourselves, once we have a knowledge, once we have arrived at some kind of spiritual place, the ability to actually seize something out of them or put something in them, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it won't work. What we're going to start doing is we're going to start looking at the methods and the ways that we maneuver relationships in our life, understanding full well that this is still a journey here and here first, and that we're going to take responsibility for our side. And then this is really awesome. And this happens more gradually, guys. It's the last thing to happen, I believe, in authentic recovery change. You're going to start to perceive your relationships through God's perspective. I just want to suggest to you that is the miracle of all miracles, is when you have the eyes to see and the heart to discern the way that God sees another person in your life. Can you imagine when we realize really the extent of what he needs to do of healing in our own lives? Can you imagine if he took a jackhammer to us on day one and just started to throw it all out there and say, you know what, you got this, you got this, you got this, you got this, you got this. We would be so overwhelmed. He doesn't work that way. He knows full well what we have. He starts systematically dealing with things in such a way that only he can do. And so when we start to see this stuff in other people, we have to be able to have the same mind, the same heart, the same attitude, the same perspective that God had towards us. And that's not just a principle that, you know, like a Bible verse principle that we can just say. We really have to carry that in our heart, because our tendency will be, when we see it, we'll say, hey, I just learned this and this is what you need to do. Okay. And I'm giving you that little disclaimer because we're hitting into the area of relationships. We're going to be intensely in relationships now from here on out. Okay. We're not just going to be looking at ourselves, although it's going to skip back and forth all the time. We're going to start looking at how we connect and how we relate. So a soul tie is actually, like I said, don't freak out by that. It sounds spooky or really out there. All it means is that when we're in relationship, we say it all the time, don't we? I really connected with that person. Well, I didn't really connect that well with that person. That the human beings make connection with each other, and we don't see it. We don't see it with our eyes. It's happening here at a heart level. We connect, we disconnect, we don't connect, we do connect. But what happens when we get in close relationships is there's not just like a human-to-human connection that takes place. And remember that even the Bible says that we're not just contending with flesh and blood. Okay, so behind every person's life, behind how they carry themselves, behind the words they speak, they have influences just like we have influences. Now, we've been doing this heavy, hardcore surgical work to try to bring our lives into alignment with the help of the Holy Spirit, so that our lives start to be penetrated by the Holy Spirit and we start to live life through the resources of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what we're on, the journey that we're on. But when you deal with other people that aren't on this journey, they're just dealing with whatever it is that they're carrying. Okay. Now, when we are broken, meaning when we're not able to house God's love as He intended and created us to be, that's when we begin to try to gain relationship resources illegitimately. We start to impose things on people. We start to make demands. We start to control. They control us. They make demands on us. They manipulate us. And soul ties aren't just bad. I want you to understand that soul ties can be good or bad, but they are spiritually induced. Okay. They are. And does that mean someone's walking around with horns and fangs and they're like demon possessed and they're going to be, drooling? I mean, that's how we jump. That's our Hollywood culture that we live in, right? We jump over there into that extreme. No. Because that will just like freak you out. What I want you to understand is, however the spiritual realm works, that people are not just dealing with external behaviors. There's a drive going on in their life, just what we talked about in chapter 3. Okay, and so when you understand that, that means you're not even just dealing with surface level. You're dealing with a whole system that person is under. And so to think that we can just kind of maneuver and fix it at an external level is as crazy as thinking that we can fix ourselves at an external level. Okay. I mean, just take a little screwdriver and just, we start to realize, wow, this journey is deep and it's very meticulous what the Spirit of God has to do. Okay. Hopefully that makes sense. So it ties two hearts, a soul tie ties two hearts together, and then it acts as a transmission highway. And that's kind of helpful. You could also think of it like you could think of it like a drain, not a drain, a pipe. You could think of it like a pipe. You could think of it like a blood vessel, carrying something from one place to another. Okay. Something, it's a carrier. It's an area where you're transmitting. And that's what we do in relationships. We transmit. We transmit different things. We transmit. Healthy relationships are meant to be giving and receiving, and we're giving, we're meant to be in relationships where we can give love, we can give encouragement, we can give hope, we can be a good friend, we can be a good spouse, whatever it might be. Okay. That's what you're giving. But in unhealthy soul ties, that transmission highway is just the opposite. It becomes a pathway of curses. And I'm not going to go through healthy soul ties here in detail. Hopefully you were able to get a chance to read it just for the sake of time. I can usually tell there's no way I'm going to be able to follow my notes, which I'm already there. So I'm going to move right over, Stacy, to unhealthy soul ties. And I already mentioned this to you. So I want you to understand then that as you make connections in life, and we're going to start learning next week the different categories that each relationship has. Okay, and the different intimacy impact it has on our life. In other words, the person you meet at the grocery store, you're not going to have some deep and penetrating soul tie with them, right? I mean, you just talked about the weather, you just talked about the Packer game, whatever. Okay, I'm a little biased, by the way. And so you're not going to have this big, intense soul tie like you are with a parent, like you are with a spouse, okay? So obviously, the nature of the relationship is going to determine the impact. And even how deep that tie is going to be. So literally, if you think of it as a transmission highway, now you're talking about relationships where they are doing exactly the opposite of what they were created to do. They are channels of curses. They are channels of hurt. They are channels used to tear someone down. Someone uses them to tear us down. And we talked again about that in chapter 3, that the influences that people have, sometimes it can just be the flesh, sometimes it is spiritual. But there's something dominating a relationship like that when that happens. When there's a relationship that's always in a mode of being unhealthy, there is a problem. And we need to just be willing to acknowledge that. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the need-based relationship. And I really believe that this is kind of at the heart of really identifying the unhealthy soul ties in our life. The other thing I want you to understand is when we start to move into the heart of God, he's not just looking to start clipping, 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 throwing, clipping, 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 throwing. Get him, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. He's not he's not that way. Can you imagine if he was that way with us? Really? I mean, you know, you're be gone. Yeah. I mean, it would be cruel. You know, we imagine the millions and billions, quadrillions of people that he's dealt with over time. If he just had this kind of snip him and leave him attitude, we'd be in for it, man. Huh? You know, I mean, can you imagine? So I just want you to understand that that's not what motivates him. The cycle of need-based relationship really does usually typically describe what's happening in the codependency dynamic. And there are definitely two people involved in this cycle. And what happens when we don't have a life experience where we've, you know, often had needs met in a valid way in childhood? And that needs to be looked at and that needs to be understood, because it's not fair to just say, oh my gosh, I'm so needy, or oh my gosh, I'm all so twisted. God meant for that growth process, that nurturing process, to take place from a young age. And if it didn't, and if there wasn't proper nurturing, we just have this gaping hole in us that, until God fills that and deals with that and can realign our lives, we are going to be operating out of need. Okay, I want you to understand that that's just the default. That's just how it is. That's the vacuum. That's just how it goes down when that proper growth didn't take place, okay? So we bring these holes into relationships, and we look for people to fill them. And they bring their holes into relationships, and they look for people to fill them. And we got two people that have two different sets of issues, two different influences that really need to get their needs met. That's really what it is. And they enter relationships, and guys, you hear it, and it's validated in our culture. You know, you fill me up. You make me whole. I don't sing very well. Actually, I'm purposely not singing well on that. But you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm saying. I mean, we have a culture that it's like, you found me and you made me. And then all of a sudden, you're a jerk and you're ruined and you destroyed my life. And you see it in Hollywood. You see it in the movies. You see it everywhere. As if a human relationship, the perfect love relationship, would hold the key to everything. And then when that relationship doesn't work, it's responsible for everything that's wrong. And can I just tell you, that's a lie? It really is. It's a lie. I remember when I first came into relationship with Jesus, and I couldn't listen to the secular music anymore, because I'd been so sucked up into that. I had so many relationship issues that I was still dealing with, that I really had this idea that, you know, the Prince Charming type thing was really the solution. I mean, I really bought into that lie. I don't know about any of the other ladies. I really bought into that. I remember when I came into a relationship with Jesus, I remember realizing, like, wow, I may have said this to you already, that he was the dream. I'm not saying that my husband isn't. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that Jesus was it. He was the penetrating need of my life. He was the one that I wanted and needed in all those situations. Relationships are meant to be the second tier that happens after that first encounter with Jesus happens. Of course, it doesn't happen in our lives, especially if we didn't know Jesus, we didn't have access to him, we didn't have an understanding of. Of course, it doesn't work that way. So, needless to say, it just goes without saying that there's going to be countless ways that relationships break down, because when you enter into a relationship with a need, it foundationally contradicts love. Now, it seems like, well, isn't it right to need? And see, it is right. The tricky thing is, it is right to need, but you can't even assess those needs until God is able to enter into the areas, the holes of your life effectively, where when you start, which we're going to talk about next week, where you start to fill up your intimacy courts, that's what we're going to be calling them, intimacy courts. When you fill up your intimacy courts, they can be put in their legitimate position. Then relationships have the opportunity to be fulfilling and satisfying. Then they can start working in alignment to what he is, supposing that the other person is capable of doing that. It's a whole different thing, huh? Because if they're not capable of doing it, then it's not going to work. So what a need-based relationship does is it's formed out of a personal need and desire. And this is really tough stuff to get at. This is the stuff that nobody at church would ever want to even address, right? We just kind of want to sit underneath our idea that we're good people, or I'm not saying you guys, but I'm talking about the culture in general, and not realizing that so many of the relationships and so many of the ways that people interact with each other really are to satisfy need. To satisfy their own need, to satisfy their own need for validation, for love, for acceptance, all those things we talk about in Coda One. It doesn't make it completely wrong. I mean, you can all of a sudden just stop relating and doing nice things for people at all because you're like, oh, it's a bad motive. I'm just not going to help anyone. I did that for a little while. That doesn't work too well either, okay? But it's really hard stuff to see that and to look at that and to go, well, my primary motivation in this situation is that I have a need on the line that I want to get met. And as long as you come to the table relationally with that, it's going to get contaminated because it actually completely reverses the purpose of relationship. And this is, I would say that this is always where it breaks down. This is it. Because what's the opposite of love? The opposite of love is selfishness. I know that's a tough word, and I'm not here to condemn or shame anyone. I just want you to understand that's what the love is. The very nature of love is it gives up the right for its own satisfaction to be met in lieu of the benefit of another person in a healthy way, after the betterment of another person. That's what love is. That's what love is. And so when you enter into a situation with I have a need to fill, I just want you to understand that because that's the most basic concept of a soul tie of any. That's what makes it contaminated. And no matter what you put on it, it will never, you can only purify that until the Holy Spirit purifies it by love, by authentic Holy Spirit love, okay? Anyway, if you read the chapter, it went into a little bit more detail. It kind of gave you some descriptions and some examples of this, but when we establish relationship out of personal need and desire, what we can do, and I cannot tell you how often I see this. I don't even have words to describe it, okay? Whether it be in our treatment program or the family members, what happens is that in our own minds, we go in with a need, even if it's not spoken. And when that need is not being met, we feel entitled to have that need met. And I'm not necessarily saying this is you guys. I'm just saying we in general, okay? You don't have to sit under this if you don't need to, okay? But anyway, we begin to operate by this sense of entitlement that this person is supposed to meet my needs. We especially do that in the marriage relationship. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be this. Can you imagine Jesus sitting in heaven going, you're supposed to be this? We'd be in trouble, right? Okay, so it's tempting to do. Believe me, I'm married. I get it. It's tempting to do, okay? But it will never produce a healthy soul tie in the fruits because the fruits of a healthy soul tie are love. Love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And out of a sense of entitlement, we can actually begin to demand our need to get met. And that's when controlling behavior. Now, you have two different kinds of personalities. Going back to Coda One, we talked about the addict personality and the Coda personality. And the addict personality was pretty outward in wanting to get their needs met. They just felt entitled to what they wanted, what they needed in the moment. You may have people in your life like that. And they just go after it and they just grab it and they just take it. And we were maybe dealing with people like that. And we're just like, you know, how could you just think that you have a right to do that kind of stuff? Okay. And because their whole operating system is contaminated. That's why. And it's a deeper spiritual thing than we can even change. Okay. But when they or we begin to demand our need get met, that's when things get dark. And they can get very dark. They can get very, very dark. Sometimes those needs can be very indirect, like emotional needs. When people are operating out of emotional need and they're trying to get someone to respond to emotional need, It's the insanity of it is that's not that easy to see for another person. It's not ever spoken. It's never put that out there in black and white. It's this unspoken drive of it is up to you to fill this emotional need. And when we can begin to recognize where we place that onto people, it will be a very freeing thing. Because instead of putting them in a situation where they need to fill this need, we can kind of drop it over into God's lap and say, you know what? I'm not going to ask them to fill this need. I'm going to ask you to fill this need. Okay, so recognition is really hard. Did you ever notice that when someone's like you feel rejected by someone or they're not meeting your need that you think they should need, you start to judge them. You start to size them up. Judging is the culprit. I'm going to be attacking judgment throughout this. Judging is the culprit, guys. Go after your spirit of judgment. Watch it. Watch what you judge. Watch what you judge. You know why? Because the spirit of judgment stands in complete opposition to the heart of Jesus. Jesus did not come to judge. He did not come to judge. He came to save. Judgment denotes we're looking for faults. Judgment denotes we're looking for someone. And when we judge sin, when we judge people's brokenness, when we just look at it in a condemning way, I mean, because it's ugly, right? Just because it is. What we actually do is we actually participate in accelerating that. I know that that seems crazy. I'm going to continue to pick up on that. But what we do is we basically put fuel into the fire when we judge. And instead of our judgments don't do anything to help at all. All they do is stir it up, stirs the pot up. And so now you've got, you know, and you've got these issues going on and then start to judge the person. And then basically the outcome of that is either punish, if we have a punishing mentality, if the person we're dealing with has a punishing mentality, abusive relationships, they're punishers. Okay. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you pay. There's no level how dark and sick and evil that can be. It's very dark, very, very horrible, horrible. But what keeps two people together in these need-based relationships goes deeper than what we can see with our eyes. And we're going to look a little bit at kind of spelling these out a little bit more. But punishing or pleasing a person, it just depends on where we are in the cycle. Punishing is when anger takes over, when we want to retaliate. And pleasing is when that codependence, people-pleasing takes over, when we think, well, if I just try harder, if I just do more, then they'll like me. Then they'll love me. Then they'll give me what I need. But the whole cycle needs to be changed. Okay. The whole cycle is corrupt. And that's really what it is. And the fruits of unhealthy soul ties, they really should just kind of speak for themselves. Pride, shame, control. I know this is all kind of negative stuff that sounds like we're talking about, but we want to get clear from this stuff. We want this stuff to be freed from our lives. We're identifying it to remove it. We're not identifying to sit in it. Thank God we're not identifying it to sit in it. We're identifying to get rid of it, okay? We don't want it. We don't want to operate with contaminated relationship styles, okay? And a lot of times what people think when they're in relationships, they start thinking, I'm doing pretty good, and they're still, you know, a jerk. Still a jerk. I mean, let's be real. You know, I'm good. They're a jerk. But the very, that attitude is evidence that we haven't extracted the mind of God, the mind of Christ in that situation. That attitude is evidence that we're not there, because that's a judgmental attitude. Is that tough? Isn't that really, really hard? I mean, I know it's really hard, but in the nitty gritty of it, in the day by day stuff, that is kind of the stuff we need to start looking at. What am I really injecting in this relationship? What am I really putting into it? What am I really bringing to the table? Because sometimes we can be looking at our external behavior and comparing that to someone else's external behavior. And you know what? The thing about it is one of the people say, how do I know if I'm free from this person, if I'm released from this soul type, I'm released from, you know, negative past? Honestly, and when you're in a current situation, it's actually harder than when it's just someone from the past. Honestly, when you see them, you'll have God's love for them. You really will. You will really actually have God's love. I went through different levels of healing. Even in the church, I had a hatred for a season for the church. And then God began to bring more and more healing. I didn't have hatred anymore. I started having a love and affection. And then there were still like the people that had all the weird denominational beliefs that had still done a lot of damage in their denominational beliefs in my life. And then God just started giving me just a love for these other denominations. It's crazy. It's crazy. I feel love for them. I feel like this heart for them. Like they do not have the big bad germs that like get away from me. Okay. Like, ooh, you know, they're, ooh, those people and their belief systems. But I was carrying that for a long time. Do you see what I mean? And that was evidence that the work had not been perfected yet. Okay? It's hard stuff, but you know what? This is not an easy journey. But let's just lay something down in the line, is that if we want to get God's best and highest, if we want to live the abundant life that He's called us to, if we want to receive what He has in mind for us, we're going to need to have His heart generated in us. There's no other way to do it. And then all of a sudden you start realizing, wow, man, this is the way He loves me. This is the way He loves me. And you know what's amazing about it is you go into it, you think, oh, this is so hard. Actually, what you get to see is you get to see deeper and deeper aspects of God's character. And your love for Him will grow stronger. And the sacrifices you make as far as having to submit to things that sometimes you don't really want to submit to will be outweighed by the benefits of being able to see and access and walk in the nature of who God is. Not charade Christianity, not cliche Christianity, actual encounter, true, authentic. I am walking around. I am seeing the world how God sees it. I'm seeing people how God sees it. Now, I can tell you, I carry that burden a lot, and I can slip right into the flesh in like a split second, especially when I'm at home. You know what I'm talking about? So I am not talking like you're just going to float around and just be glorious. Okay. No. What I can do is I can catch it. I can see it. I can recognize it. I said, you know what? That's old behavior. That is, you know what? And I'm fine with knowing that there's a side of me that's really at enmity with myself, with other people, and with God. There is still a part in me that still wants access to life to do it my way to get what I want. And I've come to peace with that. Remember, you know, there was a season in my life where it's like I didn't even want to acknowledge that. That would make me evil and bad, and you know, I just terrible. No, it's just the Romans 7 thing. Okay? The Romans 7. My little girl is right now struggling. I want to be good, mommy, but I can't be good. Why can't I be good? And then I do bad things. And so I took her to Romans 7. And she couldn't believe it. She's like, that's exactly what I feel like. I'm like, you're with the rest of us. Okay? I'm not talking like you're gonna glow. I mean, you know what? I'd love to just kind of float around like a little fairy all day and just have the magic wand. And I'm just, you know what? As I grow, I'm hoping that my presence in people's life brings more and more. It houses more and more of God's characteristics. But I'll tell you what, teaching is actually, in the whole scheme of things, pretty easy. Relationships are much trickier. Relationships pull the mud out of me like nothing else can. Teaching doesn't. Relationships do. Okay. And I just want to make that clear. So I'm going to real quickly cover some of the different kind of soul ties. And it can be confusing, but it's really not. It's actually super, super duper easy. We're going to look at it, just the different ways we connect to people, because we connect with people in some key areas. And one of the ways that we connect is in our thought life. And we've spent so much time talking about this that it should be kind of like easy at this point for us to understand that if we place someone in a position where we put them in a position of authority, where we are believing, like I'm teaching you right now, you're believing what I'm saying, boy, I'll tell you what, go ahead and test the spirit behind that, okay? To determine. That's why in everything that I do, I am okay for you to go home and to pray about that and to get confirmation directly from the Lord on anything I teach. Okay? Because when your mind gets connected, when you start to receive truth from someone, okay, when you put someone in that position and you're receiving what they have to say as truth. Now, when it's people close to you, people you love, people you're in relationship with, it's tough. Because it goes deeper. It's those intimacy cords. It goes deeper. And what they can say can we can carry. We can carry the words that our parents said to us, negative, harsh words our parents said for a lifetime. Because that's a mental soul tie. What does that mean? Well, it's really interesting. People can throw thoughts and ideas about us. And remember, all real freedom comes as our thoughts are transformed into the belief systems that align with God's truth. right? That's what all of recovery is about. So needless to say, we're going to be dealing with this fight all the time, and we might have specific relationships, deeper, heavier soul ties that are just constantly these highways of throwing thoughts at us that contradict who we are. Okay. Those are the ones I'm talking about that you need to be concerned about. Because what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make a determination that those are going to have to reverberate off of you. You're not going to let them in. You're not going to let them determine, and you're going to give them to Jesus, chapter 2, lay them at his feet all the time and say, no, that's not true. This is what's true. Okay, that's not true. I'm not going to receive that. Here's the really crazy thing. I love the story of Peter running up to Jesus and saying, you know, he's telling them he's going to die. And he's like, no, you're not. You're not going to die. You're wrong. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, get behind me, Satan. Don't tell your spouse, get behind me, Satan. Mimic Jesus, but not particularly in that way. He got away with it, but I don't think we are. Anyway, whoa, like, what the heck? I mean, really, like, what just happened? Here's poor little Peter. No, Jesus, you're going to be okay. It's like, no, I'm not. Get behind me, Satan. Why do we need to understand that? Because that thought was generated from something else. It was not based on truth. It did not align with God's will. It did not have the wisdom of God attached to it. It was actually a lie, even though it was well-intended. In Peter's case, he certainly wasn't trying to be malicious to Jesus, right? He just got, like, seriously rebuked. So we need to understand in the same manner that the things, we call them fiery darts, the things that come against us, they're trying to steal a truth away from us. And you know what? Typically, the person doing it doesn't know they're doing it. If you begin to fight and engage with them, things are going to get crazy, okay? They're going to get snarly. They're going to get ugly. If we can recognize that that's something that we just need to lay down and say, you know what? That's just not true. Now, a boundary can say, you know what? I don't agree with you, but you have a right to your opinion. But the tendency of the flesh is to come back and say, you know what? You're a jerk too, and blah, 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 all those kind of things, okay? And we just have to be able to recognize this and to cut that off at its source, even just to learn to say a prayer in the moment. I know sometimes in the moment you want to engage. Just depends on your personality. Some people want to engage and some people leave, okay? They just want to disconnect and leave, okay? So emotional soul ties are a little bit harder to tap into because at least the mental soul ties are a thought, and sometimes we can trace that thought, but sometimes getting in touch with your emotional needs and how you're leaning on a person inappropriately in an emotional way is a little bit more tricky to get to. I kind of had to learn to do this dance with that, especially in marriage, because, you know, prior to marriage, you know, me and my husband thinking we got it all going on, right? We're all healthy and Jesus and la-di-da, everything's good. And you get married and you're like, whoa, I mean, things are coming out of you. You don't even know we're there. Okay. And when situations would trigger a sense of abandonment, when situations would trigger a sense of not being validated, when situations would trigger rejection, there is a strong tendency. I don't know about anyone else, but there is a strong tendency to basically say, you know, you're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be meeting my need this way. Now, I know that in marriage, you really are supposed to take responsibility and you're supposed to care for your spouses. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to. I'm just saying in the moment, when we start to place our emotional well-being and stability based on how someone else is responding to us, we have now just formed a soul tie. We're at their mercy now. What they pour into us will either make us happy or sad. Okay, that's an unhealthy soul tie. A healthy soul tie would be having friendship with someone and being able to nurture and support each other in love. Emotional attachment is critical in a healthy relationship. Emotional, healthy emotional, it's huge. It's enormous. I am not saying you should not be emotional with people. But when that emotion is rooted in brokenness, it's rooted in unmet needs, it's rooted deeper, it's trying to satisfy something. And when we don't get satisfied, and when a person just fails, you know what, you guys, we fail with Jesus all the time. And you know what, the people in our life, sometimes they're just not going to, maybe they should, but they just can't. Maybe they're supposed to, but they're just not. Maybe they're just in a season where they're just not good. They just can't. They're just not. It's just not going to happen. If we stay there, we're like staying at our, you know, our need hole here. And we're like, you are supposed to be filling this. We get bound. We create an unhealthy soul tie. And so we start throwing it back at them. They start throwing it back. It's this push and pull game. Okay. How that actually leaves. She already told me she was leaving. I didn't offend her. Don't worry. Right, Nancy. What happens is that when we enmesh too, when we get to the point where we are so wrapped up in someone else's, what someone else has to offer us, when we get so consumed by that, we actually lose our ability to feel apart from what we perceive them doing. That is an unhealthy soul tie, okay? A sexual soul tie is something we're going to deal with. I think that we need to be able to have this conversation. I think it's important. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the next chapters to come, because the Bible tells us something really crazy. It says that when you have a sexual relationship, that two will become one. That is pretty unbelievably massive, okay? That is like what Jesus is, he says the same thing about us, that you, me and you will be one, will become one with the Father. He's talking about a very deep level of intimacy. Every single sexual encounter that we have that goes outside of the bounds of marriage has to be addressed. I believe it should be prayed over. It should be dealt with, because we have to take that stuff real. And that doesn't say you need to be guilted and shamed. If your partner is carrying stuff, there's a lot of sexual addiction. If you have a spouse that has a sexual addiction, I don't know how to say it, but there's a spirit behind that. And you will in some way feel that. It is brought into the atmosphere of your life. And it is like, even if it's not a tangible third party, people describe this as if it feels like there is another person living in the house with them. That's the spirit side of it. Okay. But even if it's not active, if it's from the past, you bring the baggage with you. My husband describes this. I was shocked when I heard he teaches this, but now I steal it from him. He teaches this as like, it's like people enter relationships and they have like all these bodies attached to them. Isn't that like kind of freaky? I'm like, man, that's like, woo. But like, that's kind of vivid. That kind of gets the point across, right? So here you go, you know, you're in relationship with this person, but you brought the other 10 or 20 with you too, okay? So you have to clip those people off. Now, past people, unhealthy relationships, you don't have a current relationship status with them, those you're free to clip, by the way. You want to clip them. So not everyone you do, but there are some you will, okay? And so I'm not going to go into that, and I'm hoping that you read that, but I want you to understand that actually in the counseling room, we take this the most serious. Now, you want to add real serious. You talk about a sexual violation, someone perpetrating somebody, huge. Now you want to throw the most massive injury of the heart that there is. It's a parent sexually abusing a child. There is no deeper injury than that. It does the most damage. It violates the purity. The need of that child is violated in several different ways. Okay, and it needs to be dealt with. And I just have to say that if you feel like you have an area in that in your life, even if you just need a prayer, some people need more than others. You know, that's where we, me and LaShawn, were talking about that we want to, and probably Becky too. I don't want to throw her under the table and put her on the spot, but we do want the opportunity to do some one-on-ones with you guys, at least a prayer, and just to help you kind of understand, maybe do you need to deal with that more? What we don't want to happen is that you leave that stuff untapped, because it won't go away. It will not go away. Unhealthy spiritual soul ties. So I want you to understand that all soul ties are spirit in the sense that there's a transmission. But an unhealthy, but what we were talking about in this chapter would be when you're like attached to a religious belief system. When you're attached to something that represents God, but it's not accurate. Okay. And one of the primary objectives that I have in this workshop is that you attach to legitimate, authentic, real Jesus and have access to the real Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to let you work through that. I really want to leave it with that right now, just for the sake of time. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, because instead of teaching about breaking soul ties, I just kind of want to walk you through it in prayer for a moment. And there were some prayers in your workbook and in your reading. I believe it was in both areas. And prayers, you know, prayers are not magic in and of themselves. They're a transmission highway in and of themselves. You're transmitting a request to God, and you're asking Him to give you something in return. So you're always offering something and then receiving something. And it's the spirit by which we're able to do that really determines. So I want you to understand a couple of things, is that you can break a soul tie, and you have the authority in Jesus' name to overcome that. So just go ahead and close your eyes. And Father, we don't always understand the things in the spiritual realm, or what that looks like, or what that involves, or how the enemy can even get access into our lives, Lord. We don't really know how all that looks. But Father, we do know that that relationships can sometimes be painful and difficult, and that we've brought needs into relationships that were not legitimate, that we've had relationships in the past that were not healthy. And so, Father, we just ask that you would show us those areas that we need to deal with, that you would show us those relationships that we have had a soul tie with, or have a soul tie with right now. And Lord, we just want to speak your authority over that. We just want to claim that the blood of Jesus is all sufficient to break the power of that, and to break the chains of that. And Father, we understand that we have a job in this, that we have to continue to purify our hearts and our lives, that we have to continue to receive forgiveness, that we have to continue to offer forgiveness to the people who have hurt us. And Lord, our part, we're willing. We sign up for it. We're willing to do it. Show us how to process through this in the weeks to come as we look at relationships. Show us if there is any soul tie that is so disruptive in our lives right now. God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would sever that right now. And that you would just take a bucket and in the source of your Holy Spirit, that you would start to fill each hole in our hearts that we've had an illegitimate connection to. Because that illegitimate connection had a need attached to it, Lord. And today we just want to acknowledge that only you can fill that part of the need. We pray for the people that are recipients of our transmission highways, and that are givers of their transmission highways. We pray that you would have access to them. Teach us how to be in partnership with you, not to control, not to begin to pick up the tools that would cause us to participate in the unhealthy soul tie. but teach us how to pick up the tool that would help us to establish a new highway, a different way of communicating, a different way of functioning in relationship. And we just confess to you, Lord, that we are incapable. We can't do it. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit we can. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to just turn lights on and show us. Is it an emotional attachment? A mental attachment? We've been listening to someone's voice, maybe past, maybe present. Do we have sexual attachments that we didn't properly deal with or that we negated? Have we authorized someone else to speak as our spiritual leader without learning how to receive from you directly? Nothing wrong with a leader, but they can't replace you, Lord. So we just ask that you prepare us to get those holes, those relational holes in our hearts, filled properly and sorted out properly in the weeks to come. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to break up into your normal groups. Those of you joining us for the